Heavenly Father, I confess my sins, I repent of them, I receive mercy. Lord, I receive life in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for another opportunity to come and share your word. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you prepared, O God. I pray, O Lord, that you will cause this word to come forth in streams of living water in the name of Jesus. Lord, to do an eternal work in the hearts and lives of all that hear, including myself. I pray, Lord, to break every yoke of limitation in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, utterance may be given unto me to be able to speak as the oracles of God in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, O God, that, Lord, you have mercy upon me. Lord, as I come to share this word, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done in this time of sharing, in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about today, the title is Looking for New Nigeria. Looking for New Nigeria. We all know where the old one is, don't we? And I think we're all tired of the old one. Oh, is it just me?
Yeah.
I think we're all tired of the old Nigeria. Yes, we want a new one, don't we? Praise the Lord. But you know, every time we keep talking about this new Nigeria, the problem is when you go outside, you don't see it. It seems to be getting worse and worse. The corruption, the decadence, everything is seems to be getting worse and worse. And it may look as if we're just deceiving ourselves here when we come inside here and just make ourselves happy and say, oh, Nigeria, you know, and start prophesying all those things that we prophesy, you know. It looks like it. But then we need to understand that this is not just a pie in the sky. Praise the Lord. It's not just a pie in the sky, you know. The word of God is real. And that which God has spoken, he watches over to perform it. We always see it. When it is our own personal lives, we see things easily. Oh, God, you're not a man to lie, neither the son of man to repent what you have said you would do and everything. It's true, not just for your own personal life. It's true for Nigeria. It's true for all the things he has spoken, even more so, praise the Lord. Now, in understanding this, we need to, first of all, understand that, you see, bringing forth a new nation is not something that God hasn't done before. He's used, if you look at your Bible, you will see that he's used men before to bring new nations before. He's used two men in particular that I have in mind, Noah and Abraham. Praise the Lord. Noah and Abraham. Remember, when Noah entered into the ark, by the time he came out, there was nobody except the people in the ark. A new nation. New nations came forth. Remember Abraham? Father of many nations. Praise the Lord. So, God has done this before. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has done this before. So he's had some practice. Okay? So fear not. Amen. He's done it before. Let's look at Abraham first of all. You see, Abraham, I want to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read from verse 8 to 10. All right, let's read together. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Next verse. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Next verse. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Praise the Lord.
This states what Abraham was looking for. Amen. And as you look at this, you see that we are many. He was just one. He was alone. But he was looking for this. And he believed God. So he came out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And according to what God said, he moved around. In fact, he moved for about 25 years or so. Yes, over 25 years. Looking for what you said there, a city. Now, what we need to understand is that, look, Abraham here, what indeed really was he looking for? Because if you were to go from Ur of Chaldees to Canaan, you won't spend 25 years. Praise the Lord. If you were just to take a bus trip, or they didn't have a bus, okay, a camel trip. You won't take 25 years. So, really, what was he looking for? Was he looking for heaven? No, he wasn't looking for heaven. If it was heaven, then God should have taken him already. Soon as he agreed and said, God, yes, here I am. He said, well, yeah, come to heaven. Come and see the place that I was telling you about. But he didn't. So he wasn't looking for heaven. He was looking for a place. He was looking for a place which satisfied certain conditions. Certain conditions, spiritual conditions. The Bible says in another place, it says a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. And this is what he was looking for. Now, what does this mean? A new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. A new heaven. He's looking for a place where the heavens, Satan has been dethroned from the heavens. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. He has been dethroned from that place. And the people now are able to act and are able to move under an atmosphere of righteousness. Praise the Lord. This is what he was looking for. Of course, it did not exist anywhere on the face of the earth there at that time. Now, if that's what he was looking for, you need to understand that now, so what are we looking for? When we're asking for a new Nigeria, what are we looking for? What are we actually looking for? I want to show a picture. There are many scriptures we could use, but I'll just use one or two. We've used them before, they're not new. But just look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 26, for example. And it says, let's read together, and I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. Praise the Lord. That's one thing. Restoring of righteousness in our judges, in our counselors, in our leaders, and everything. He said, he would do this. But what are you seeing now? What do we see now? How far is it from what we are seeing in the scripture? It's like as far as the east is from the west. Even further. It's an eternity apart. And even if you wonder, how are we going to get from there to here? Are we going to beg them? That doesn't matter. Yeah, that won't work. Are we going to do what? What are we going to do? Anyway, that's a picture. Another picture you can find in Psalm 144. Let's read from verse 13 and 14. That our garners may be full. Let's read together. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. Next verse. That our oxen may be strong to labor, and that there be no breaking in, no going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful place this would be. Can you imagine? No complaining in the streets. They complain in the streets, even in America. They complain in the streets in England. They complain in the streets everywhere. So, green card is not the answer. British passport is not the answer. They complain in the streets all over the world, and it's getting more and more and more. People are not satisfied. So, what a wonderful place this is. Many other scriptures. We'll see some others later. But this paints a little picture of a place that we are looking for. Now, if you're looking for this place, you'd have to believe. You really believe God. You really have to believe God. This is what God has said. Look at the reality. Present reality is far different. Physical reality. Now, let me ask you. Let's look at this. You see, this new Nigeria, where is it? Where is it? You can't see it with your eyes. It cometh not by observation. You know where it is? It's in the hearts of those that believe it. God has given the word, and some people have decided to believe it. Just like Abraham, he put it in his heart. He believed it. The Bible says he believed God, and God counted it for righteousness. We believe God, he will count it for righteousness, because this is the righteous nation he's intended to build. Praise the Lord. Why does God need a righteous nation? Why does he need one? Is it because Nigerians, we are special? You know we are very special. Is it because he loves us so much? You know, he really grieves our own because we are so wonderful. Well, as wonderful as we are, it is not because of that. It's because of his purpose. It's because of his word. He needs to bring forth something. And every time he brings forth something, it starts somewhere. It starts with a nation. And it starts with a nation. Amen. And so, he has decided this land from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, where the rivers do divide, written there thousands of years ago, he has decided that this is the place. It was written before the nation was created. He had decided that this is the place where that last great move would take off from. Now, the people in that place would need to believe my word once I show it to them. And they need to take it in heart, take it to heart. Amen. Impregnate themselves with this revelation of it. That's what we need to do. And you know what happens once you impregnate yourself with this revelation? God counts you as a peculiar treasure. You know why? The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You are a treasure because you hold his purpose in your heart. You are a treasure because you hold his purpose in your heart. That doesn't apply to every Christian. Hello? Hello? It doesn't apply to everyone. It applies to the person who decides to hold his purpose in faith in his heart, to incubate it, to bring it to pass. That's who it applies to. And guess what? God guards them jealously. There are other people busy praying for divine protection. Oh God, oh God, oh God, when we're going on our trip, oh God, oh God, oh God, protect us. Angel Michael, this one. All these things. Just make yourself valuable to the person, to God. Put his purpose inside of you. Determined to bring it to pass. He will mark you out. He will give men for you. Amen. He will protect you. It's in his best interest. Praise the Lord. Yes. Just like a manager, a football manager. You see a good player that's performing on the pitch. You're not going to take him off.
is the one that is disturbing the flow of the play that you're going to take off and change at half time. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's for the people who understand football. All right. Not everybody. Okay. Praise the Lord. Why is it so hard for people to believe? For the people that are called by His name to believe His word. You know why? Because when we see with our eyes the corruption that is around us, we see all the terrible things that are going on. This is quite, you know, I mentioned two men. I talked about Abraham. This is what Noah saw. This is what Noah saw. Even worse, because, I mean, who could he talk to? He didn't really have that many people to talk to encourage himself. It was terrible. Let's just look and see Genesis chapter 6. 5, let's just say from verse 5. Genesis 6, 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Can you imagine? Continual evil. You know, more diligent in unrighteousness than we righteous people are diligent in righteousness. Praise the Lord. Next verse. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Next verse. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Next verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise the Lord. These were terrible times as well. Very terrible times. You know, in fact, at the beginning of this chapter, yes, that's the time when the sons of God, that is the spirits, came down and fallen angels came down and slept with men, women, and gave birth to a race, giants. Wicked race. You know why he did that? Because he wanted to speed up the corruption of the earth by injecting a wicked race seed into the earth. God had to eradicate it completely. We can't find a trace of it now. Not in the earth, not in the archaeology. They've been digging. They can't see it. It's not in the genes. It's not in anywhere. He had to eradicate it completely. Because if he allowed it to stay, that wickedness, the cup of wickedness, would become full before he could have a chance to bring the Savior. So he had to eradicate it. Put the reset button. Amen. You know, like when your phone gets really, really full of viruses. You just have to factory reset. Factory reset. Yes, you lose all your data and everything, but it goes back to a new format. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this was what was happening on the earth in this time of Noah. And this is similar to what is happening here in Nigeria. We can see corruption. In fact, it, with every generation, it sort of has a quantum leap of wickedness. Yes. When the generation comes in, it increases incrementally during the generation. But then the next generation, they go up even higher, down even further. That's what seems to happen. You know, I can remember a time when in Nigeria, there were no walls around houses. In fact, there were palm trees. This palm tree, this coconut tree, is the boundary between my neighbor and myself. I know some of us would think, where is this place talking about? Yes, Apapa. Yeah, Apapa. It was just like that, I remember. Beautiful. You could, I mean, there was, window bars were not eternal, they were not always with us, you know. Burglary proof, we call it. Huh? We didn't lock our cars, you know. Even the doors, whether you locked it or not, you know, you wouldn't really, you know. Some people used to, some vendors would put their wares on the floor, and you would come, you would know the price, you put the money down and take the thing and go. If he was not there. You are laughing. Where is it? Where is this place, Pastor Wale? Where? Let me go there, please. This Nigeria. This same Nigeria. That was before oil money came. Oil. That's before it came. That's before all sorts of, all this stuff came. But you see now, now what we can see is layers and layers of corruption. In fact, if you, in fact, the closer you are to it and you can see more of it, the more despair you have. Because you see, take off the first layer, you see another layer of corruption. Take off the next layer, you see another layer that was depending on the layer above, that's depending on that layer above. You keep digging down and you still get more corruption. And right down to the ground, it has given us a false economy. A false economy, yes, because people that start legitimate businesses because they think they have a market. The market is people who stole money. So the people that are gaining something from the people that stole the money. So the money is flowing down to your business, your legitimate business, but it's a false economy. Now, just imagine we stop the corruption. At the top, your business is going to suffer. And so you will understand when somebody who is jailed in England now comes back home, they are hailing him. Hey, our boy has come, has returned. Our son, illustrious son, has come back. Yeah, meet him at the airport. Because you it's like a cancer that has metastasized. Is that the word? Sorry. All right. It's spread all over. You can't take it out without killing the patient. That's how it looks. And that's how, you know, in the natural it is. So it needs God to do invasive surgery. It needs God. It needs God. So, there is a Zion in the land. Praise the Lord. This corruption is like a flood. The Bible says the enemy comes in like a flood. He's in Nigeria, coming like a flood. It's like a flood of corruption. Everywhere you look, left, right, center, is completely flooded. But you see, the thing is this. There is a Zion church. That is the saving grace. There is a Zion church in this land. Noah, like Noah, the ark of Noah. And that Zion church is like an ark that floats above the corruption. The rest of the church is a part of the corruption. But the Zion floats above the corruption. Now, what is the strength of this Zion? How do they float above the corruption? The Bible says, if my people that are called by my name humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then, and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal. Full stop. After that, you can put land or anything. But that is a blueprint for healing. Turn from your wicked ways, humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from your wicked ways, and then I will hear from heaven and heal. Praise the Lord. We have a church that is doing that. We have a church that is doing that. And I thank God for what we've been taught, you know, in this church. The value of intercession, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness,
then all other things will be added. But that kingdom of God must be first. And the reason why it must be first, because if you have all other things, then you're just waiting for destruction to come and meet you with those things, except you save the nation that you're in. If you have all the other things and you don't have the kingdom, then you're just waiting for destruction to come and meet you, because you haven't saved the nation that you are in. And there are examples, many such examples of nations that were not saved. Or cities. Sodom and Gomorrah, for example. You know? Lot. Ah, praise God. Yes. Thank you, sir. There was prosperity there. It was a beautiful place. It was a beautiful place. If it wasn't beautiful, Lot had good eyes now. Lot had eyes. It was like the garden of the Lord. Lyco. It wasn't, but it like the garden of the Lord. So, all that glitters is not gold, truly. So, Zion, the Bible says that he was sent forth the rod of his strength out of Zion. And you know what that does? It would save your nation and it would break the others. I'll say that again. It will save your nation and will break the other nations, which are not your nation. As it's breaking the other nations, it will raise up Mordecai's, it will raise up saints, intercessors, and people that would now save those nations, because it has to be done by the people of the nation. He said, I'll hear from heaven and I will save their land. So this is what happens. It will save their land. So that rod of strength comes out by the power of the Holy Spirit. It does this great work. In fact, I began to realize the importance of the Holy Spirit on a national level. You know, he's, if you're talking about saving nations, the Holy Spirit, for example, at the beginning in Genesis, he's the one that hovered over the waters, over, you know, without form, when things were without form and void. In the Acts of the Apostles, it was the Holy Spirit. It was only when the Holy Spirit had come that they could now go to the nations. And again, prophetically, the Bible says, "After the glory, then we shall go to the nations." So, you have he has a very important role when it comes to nations, saving nations. Praise the Lord. So, with all of this now, how is it that most of the church have rejected this operation? Because you see, the Holy Spirit is like, if you imagine Kainji Dam, so much power behind this massive dam to produce electricity for the whole nation. Just imagine using that dam and that electricity just to light a few light bulbs in your house only. What a colossal waste. But that is what is happening if you are not seeking his kingdom to come and his will to be done. And you are praying for just your own thing, just for your own little prosperity, just for your own little advancement, just for your own little remove the devil from my front, just for your own little... That's what's happening. That is what is happening. The whole of that resource is wasted. God is looking. He gave it for a purpose. He gave it for a purpose. Anyway, when Noah was looking for the new land, he sent out a dove.
the dove went out and flew around, 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 and came back again. He didn't find anywhere to rest. He didn't find any. He didn't find any sign of land, any sign of the new land. This is like, how do we send out this dove? How does it go out? It's like the Holy Spirit, through our intercession, one, goes out. And then also through our preaching, also preaching of the purposes of God, goes out also. Praise the Lord. And this has been happening for years, by the grace of God, from this pulpit. We thank God for Pastor and Mommy. It has been happening for years, consistently. And that thing has been going out. It's like a dove going out around looking for where it can alight. Looking for where it can alight. Who would take it up? You know, where are the signs of the new Nigeria or the new church that is to come? Where are those signs? He wants to alight somewhere. Many times it has just come back. Many times it has just come back. You know why? Because they rejected it. Look at this scripture, Isaiah 28, 11 to 12. Isaiah 28. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Next verse. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. This is the means by which God will bring rest to this nation, to the church. This is the means. But they knew not the time of their visitation. They did not perceive the things that belonged to their peace. And they rejected it. I'm talking about the rest of the church, basically now. They rejected it. It took it out. Well, I know there are times we've gone out, we're enthusiastic about the message, but after some time, they don't invite us back again. And if you see them on coming on the road, they cross to the other side. it's true. They will avoid us. Why? Because of that message. And they decided, because they knew in their heart, they decided to reject it. Otherwise, they'd be looking for us. They'd be looking. Praise the Lord. So anyway, the dove goes out and it comes back. And it has gone out many times. But I want to encourage us, because you see, when Noah kept sending out this dove, it didn't stop. He waited another few days, 7 days or so, send him out again. And he would go. And at one point, he actually came back. With what? Olive leaves. Praise the Lord. Signs that the new land is coming. Signs that the new church is coming. Praise the Lord. Because the new church will be in the new land. Not this old Babylon. Not this old Babylon church. Praise the Lord. So what are these olive branches and these olive branches that we have been seeing? As far as this nation is concerned, there have been many of such. But let me just name a few so we can connect to this. Remember the time Abacha died? Things were coming to a head. He was saying, who the cap fits, who the cap fits. Of course, he knew that the cap was supposed to go on his own head. It was going to change from military to civilian. But God said, no, you won't. And I remember here, the night before, we held this same flag. And we said, it was so vivid. We said, grace, grace, grace. Maybe some people here were thinking, they have come again with this prophetic. Okay, grace, grace, grace. We shouted the grace.
the next day we went out, it was like a dream. People were afraid to even say it. We were whispering, is it really true? Is it really true? Is it really true? Or is it a trick? They want to arrest all those who rejoice.
especially if you're in government. let me see who my enemies are. Huh?
But it was true. God had averted war in this nation. You know, if Nigeria, God forbid, has another type of war, 170 million people, there is no refugee camp. Nowhere for them to go. Is it Togo?
Even if they vacate their nation for us to come in, there will not be enough space.
So God, and then God, but God had a purpose for Nigeria, so He maintained it. It was an olive branch. Olive branch. And it came on the wings of intercession. Came on the wing of the dove. It came on the wings of intercession. You know?
There's also another one. This recently, the transition between President Jonathan to President Buhari.
It's an olive branch. Look at how it happened. The man turned to him and said, you have won. Congratulations. For we are in Africa.
Incidentally, the same thing had just happened in Gambia.
Amazing.
Now, you may be thinking, okay, well, what's so amazing about that?
No, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When a strong man keeps his house, his goods are in peace. Believe me, you are not taking anything from him. You are not taking anything, not jack, nothing. You can't get anything from him because his goods are in peace. He's a strong man until a stronger than him comes that can bind him. So you can see something like that happening, and if you are spiritually keen, you will understand that it's not just natural.
The man has been there for 22 years and he has been Iron Fist, yes, dictator.
Iron Fist dictator. He lost the election and he conceded. No fight, no anything.
Look, this is the work of Zion. I'm not saying we're the only ones praying, but whoever is praying to get that effect is part of Zion.
And we can see, and we pray for West Africa. We pray for, we've been praying for years. Africa prayer, sometimes, you know, you always, every day over there. Praying in the Spirit. God is working His purpose out. That dove is going out. God is working His purpose out.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Another one, Chibok girls. Some of them coming back. It's a sign too.
As surely as it was a sign when they were all taken.
This is a sign. Some of them coming back. It's a sign. It's an olive branch of the new Nigeria that is coming. Let us take heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. And for the new church, at least we've seen here, Zion City taking off. Praise the Lord. And then a lot of youths all over the country that are hungry for this kind of word.
Zion City, just some of them here. But Pastor has been going around to different places, Lagos and, you know, different places.
And the youths are hungry. Why wouldn't they be hungry? They've not been fed. So they're hungry, praise the Lord. So this is just
some olive branches. But believe me, as sure as those olive branches of Noah were a sign that that new land was coming and the waters were receding, this also is a sign that the new land is coming and the waters are receding. The waters of iniquity, yes, they're going down. The head has been cut off. from where they flowed. And so we're now just seeing the thing going down, going down. And as it goes down, what comes out first? The mountaintops begin to show. First of all, the mountain Ararat. That's the highest one. Where the ark itself stood. The mountain of the Lord's house is the highest mountain in the tops of the mountains. But then there were also other mountains that began to appear top. So, other places that have taken the same message, that have the same heart. And so, until the dove goes out and does not come back, it's going to be a time, very soon now, that dove goes out, doesn't come back. What does that mean? It simply means that God has established His covenant of peace in our land. You know the scripture that said that if the peace will return unto you, yes. If you go to preach and so on and you say peace and they reject it, then let your peace return to you. If it doesn't come back, it means they've accepted it. So if it won't come back, they would have accepted it. And so that covenant of peace, which we've been praying, which we've been receiving by faith, will actually be established. Look at Ezekiel 34. Verse 25. And I will make with them a covenant of peace. A covenant of peace. And will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness. And sleep in the woods. Next verse. And I will make them. And I will make them. And the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the showers to come down in its season. There shall be showers of blessings. Next verse. And the tree of the field will yield her fruit. And the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land. And shall know that I am the Lord. When I have broken the bands of their yoke. And delivered them out of the hands of those that serve themselves of them. Next verse. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. Praise the Lord. Next, last verse. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Praise the Lord. A covenant of peace. That also describes the land that is coming. Praise the Lord. So we can see that there is great hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is great hope. It's not coming with observation. It's coming inside. God is incubating it. And it's as real inside there as something that you can see physically. Even more real. And God has done it before. Praise the Lord. So how can we be partakers of this new land? Well, simply put, number one, we must believe God's promise like Abraham. Believe God's promise like Abraham did. Praise the Lord. Believing is a choice, you know. Absolutely. You can choose not to believe and you can choose to believe. Thomas said, except I see the holes in his hands and put my hand in the hole in his side, I will not believe. His will determined that he won't believe. There's nowhere in scripture that has any condition and says that except this happen, don't believe. There's nowhere in scripture. You choose to believe.
you choose to believe. And as you choose to be like Abraham, he believed God. He chose. He didn't see anything. All he saw was the stars of heaven. I mean, he's probably seen them before many times. So what's different about them now? You know? But by faith, he chose to believe. And God counted it for him for righteousness. And so also, as we choose to believe, God will count it to us for righteousness. Praise the Lord. Because this is the purpose of God for now. The next thing is to build an ark like Noah. We need to build an ark like Noah. What's the ark? The ark is your faith towards God to perfect the love of God. That's the ark. Your faith towards God to perfect the love of God. The Bible talks about the depth and the height to know the love of God. Let's just read that, and let me not quote it badly. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. It's a kind of Noah's Ark. You here have the height, you have the breadth, you have the depth, you have all the dimensions specified by love. Specified by law. So we need to have our faith towards it. We need to have this faith working in this direction. But then, I guess the most difficult job that Noah had, I believe, was to bring all the animals into the ark. I can imagine him running after lions and tigers to try and get two of each to bring them all into the ark. Well, maybe God just brought them and they came. But even then, it must have been quite a job. When I get to heaven, I'm going to replay that. I'm going to replay that part of the movie. and see how it actually happened. And we'll be seeing the real thing then. We'll not be looking at a Hollywood version. Praise the Lord. Anyway, what does this mean? All the different animals. What are the animals? All the different aspects of our fleshly, carnal nature. All the different, the pride, the envy, the unbelief, the laziness, the greed, selfishness, the unforgiveness, the lack of patience, sexual morality, the backbiting, the dishonesty. All these are beastly, carnal natures of man. Praise the Lord. Bible talks about fighting with the beasts at Ephesus. You know? All these carnal natures. You've got to bring them into the ark. You bring your pride in. Subject them to the love of God. Say, well, I did that last month. Well, it jumped out again. Go and bring it back. Go get it back. Put it back inside. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep it inside. Amen. So you have to bring them all in. So, you know. Subdue them in the ark. And as they are subdued, you know the wonderful thing is that as you subdue them, they have the potential to transform into virtues. Yes. Hate becomes law. Pride becomes humility. And so as we look at one scripture, it says in 2 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1:5. And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity.
For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So you keep them inside, they have the potential of becoming virtues. And we need to keep, change them to virtues rather. Reverse their effect. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Yeah, they are distorted virtues. Distorted virtues. Praise the Lord. Satan never created anything. He just distorted what was there already. And that's what they are. Praise the Lord. And what do we mean by bringing them in two by two? The animals came in two by two. Well, to me, this just means that, well, look, as you labor at bringing these things under subjection, it's a labor, you know. You many times it's like you're toiling and you're laboring against contrary forces to do this, you know. But as you're doing this, God is kind. He will show you a witness that your faith is working. Two is God's number for witness. So we show you a witness that even though it's not yet where you want it to be, but you have seen some little thing that encourages you that this thing is actually working. Praise the Lord. And the Lord encouraged me further when He gave this story, the story in Mark 6. Let's Mark 6:47, when they enter into the boat, Jesus stays behind to pray, and the disciples enter into the boat, and He commands them to go to the other side. And you know, while He's praying, He's watching them on the sea, and He sees them toiling, and the winds are contrary, and they're rowing to try and fulfill what He said they should do to get to the other side. You know, but it seems so difficult and hard. The winds are against them. The waves are against them. You know. But they haven't given up. They're toiling and toiling and toiling. You know. So He comes to them walking on water. In the fourth watch. He comes to them. And what happens? When the Lord appears. When He gets to them. The winds cease. And suddenly they're at the land. Immediately they're at the land. I believe when the Lord, the Bible says, when the Lord comes, shall He find faith in the earth? I believe that as you make sure that faith is being practiced in all these exercises, in all these different areas to bring these things under subjection, when the Lord comes and He finds faith in all these places, He will just bring you to the other side. Now, I believe that we should not give up. Praise the Lord. As we're doing this, I believe that God is preparing us to see the new Nigeria and the new church. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Give the Lord a super clap offering. Amen. That is a deep prophetic message. A deep prophetic message. That should give hope to every single one of us. It graphically, prophetically describes, and that's the beauty of the Bible, is the manifold wisdom of God. You know, I've talked about Noah before, but I've never seen it like this, with this application. That's why it's manifold wisdom of God, you see. You know, about what God is doing in Nigeria at the moment. You know, and truly, 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 you know, we've got those olive branches. The first one was in 1998. It looked as if the nation was going down. Now, the nation was God's help, but we still have not seen the land. Even though the dove came back with the olive branch in 1999, we can still see a sea of corruption. You know, we were all hoping that, you know, the Obasanjo government will do something, but here we are. Halliburton is still there. Hello? You know, the same thing with the Obasanjo went, and then, you know, Yar'Adua came, and then Jonathan came, you know, and then, you know, now President Buhari, and everybody thought Nigeria was going to explode. Completely, you know, become disintegrated in this transition. You know, but God again steps in. You know, it's another olive branch. You know, and then of course the blood moon thing with the Chibok girls. It's amazing that they were taken the very day the blood moon started. It was April 14. Because I was watching in all of those things. And when they were returned, it was exactly 2 years and 6 months. Exactly. They were returned on October 14. It's not accidental. It's not accidental. That I'm talking about the first few who were returned, the 21, you know, who were returned, which is another olive branch. We haven't seen the full thing, but we've seen the sign. But even though the dove goes out of the ark and goes to bring the olive branches, we're still seeing water. The water of corruption and iniquity, we're still seeing it. But the good news is that it is receding. So don't be disturbed by what you say. Yes, we can still see, but it's going down. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, and it should be a great encouragement to us to continue to pray, to continue to stay inside the ark, so to speak, you know, continue to subject the carnal nature, you know, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to remove the distortions, you know, and allow the fruit of the spirit, the virtues of God, you know, to be developed inside us. Because so long as you stay inside the ark and you keep developing those virtues and the flood waters continue to recede, a day will come when the land will become dry. And we will actually see the physical manifestation of the land and come out of the ark and occupy the land. Amen. Glory be to God. And that day is not afar off. So what we need to do now, there's a great message of encouragement, is to continue to pray. Remember the disciples, that beautiful typology again, as they were rowing to get to the other side. It looked as if they were not going to get there. It looked so, you know, the Bible says the winds were contrary and they were rowing and rowing and rowing. The Bible says the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And once he just comes like that, immediately they were at the land. It was an instant thing. You have to understand, go and read that story again. It was instant. When they started, Jesus said, go to the other side. He went to go and pray. They started rowing. So the initial rowing was gradual. Look at your own experience now. You're praying, you know, but you are facing all kinds of spiritual opposition and all of that. The key is not to give up. Because during the fourth watch, Jesus now starts walking on the water, and then suddenly he enters the boat. Immediately he enters the boat, they are at the other side. But if you had stopped rowing, if you had given up, so you don't stop because of opposition. You don't stop because it's hard. You don't stop because there's difficulty. You keep rowing, trusting that the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come. And once he suddenly comes, whatever it is that is left between where you are and the land, he will just make it up to you. Suddenly. Suddenly. In mathematics, you know, we have, you have different kinds of graphs and functions, you know. And there are things that are called, you know, a step function. You know, you just go from zero. It's a quantum leap. You know, the graph is zero, 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 or very low. Then you get to a particular something, and it just jumps. It's called a step function. You know, and then that is how that suddenly is. Everything is going gradual. Suddenly, pop! And we start moving in another realm. Completely different from where we were. Praise the Lord. So I want us to be strongly encouraged. Keep looking for the new Nigeria. Have it in your heart. Where is the new Nigeria? It's in our hearts. God told Abraham, I will make you a great nation. Where was the nation? In Abraham's heart. At first. Abraham just saw the stars and he believed God. The nation didn't exist yet. It didn't exist physically, but it was in Abraham's heart. And Abraham carried that nation in his heart for 25 years until he gave birth to Isaac. Then, and even then, it still wasn't a nation, just a family. Then Isaac now gives birth to Esau and Jacob. Jacob now gives birth to the 12 boys, you know, the 12 patriarchs. They now go to Egypt. They're in Egypt for 400 years. It is in Egypt that it metamorphizes from a family to a nation. But where did it start? In Abraham's heart. So it is with you. You, what God has spoken to you, let it stay in your heart. As you speak the word of God, as you pray, that thing inside our heart will become a nation. Hallelujah. When God told Noah that I'm going to destroy the world, you know, and I'm going to make a new nation out of you, and I'm going to give a new world, the only person who saw it was Noah.
Yes, sir.
It was in Noah's heart. Then Noah now built the ark according to pattern. He said 300 cubits, which is symbolic of the 300 Gideon army, you know. Then they had 50 cubits, you know, for the width, which is symbolic of the Pentecostal anointing, speaking in tongues. Then you have 30, which is stature of the fullness of Christ, talking about perfecting of the love of God. When you put all those things together, you get an ark. Are you listening to me? And God told him. And by the time Noah started building that thing, nobody understood what Noah was doing. They even believed, they thought he was mad. There's never been rain on the earth before the dew used to come from the ground. It had never rained. And then I said, no, God has told me that it's going to rain and everything. Nobody took him seriously. Just like nobody's taking us seriously now. Nobody took him seriously. Nobody took him seriously, you know. But Noah did not allow what people thought and what people said to distract him from doing what God had told him to do. He kept building according to pattern. He kept doing what God told him to do, you know. And when finally the flood came, Noah was ready. The others were not. What I shared with us on Sunday, awake and stand. Make sure you are ready. Because when he now comes, you'll be ready now to shine. It is only those who are awake and standing that will shine. Those who are sleeping will not shine. Those who are not standing will not shine. Scripture says so. It says, watch and pray always. You may be accounted worthy to escape these things and to stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. It's those who are standing now. So it is those who are standing. Let's use different typologies, but it's the same message. Those who are rowing the boat. Those who are practicing, those who are believing and doing something. It is to them the Lord will come suddenly, and then he will just take them and they'll find themselves in the other side. The guys who are not doing anything, who don't believe, who are idle, who are not doing anything, they will not be able to go to the other side. Because when the Lord comes, they will not be ready. Remember the virgins? Hello? Remember the virgins? They were not ready. He said, they that were ready went in. So those that were not ready didn't go in. I'm going to keep saying this. And I've been saying it for years and I'm going to keep saying it. You see, what God really is particular about is honesty, you know, believing, practice. That's it. It's those are the guys who are going to make it. Those are the guys who are going to make it. The people who are negligent, the people who don't believe and just cast the, you know, since they cast my instruction behind their back, you know, and are not doing anything, you know, God will not be able to do anything with them.
you know, but it's the people who are actually doing, who are practicing. It's not they're not perfect, you know, but they are working at it. Then when God comes, He will, His mercy and grace will amplify that effort, and they'll get to the other side. You will get to the other side in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It is well with Nigeria. It is well with America. It is well with the nations of the world. I know we are living in very, 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 very perilous times where if you just pull you, everything you see around you is just water. The water of corruption, the water of all kinds of rubbish, you know, but the waters are receding. And we're getting the olive branches. And so we should be encouraged to continue to pray, to continue to seek the Lord, you know, and allow the Lord to finish what He's doing in us. This issue of also the carnal nature, you know, being brought in two by two. It means that you'll be overcoming those things little by little. But as you are, because, you know, but as you are overcoming it, you have a witness that you are dealing with it. Becoming in little by little. But there will be a witness. That's why two is just number, God's number four is symbolic of a witness, you know. So He couldn't bring in all the animals at once. He had to bring them in. He had to bring them in little by little. So you bring your carnal nature into the ark of the perfection of the love of God. You bring in it little by little. But every time you bring in one, you will get a witness. You bring another one, you get a witness. You know, only God knows. I think the scriptures don't tell us very explicitly. I need to go and study that again, you know, afresh. I saw it some years ago. I think it took Noah 100 and something years to build the ark. It would take that long. If, you know, not if, because we know the story is true, because the Bible is true. Do you know how many animals are there on the earth? And they didn't have all the engineering that we have today. Can you imagine, you know, an ark of wood? You can imagine all the trees they had here. And it was Noah and his sons. He couldn't contract it out. He couldn't contract it out. It wasn't as if there were people who he was paying money. Okay, you there. It was just him and the three boys. So it was a lot of work. I can imagine them cutting down, you know, trees, you know, putting the wood together, you know. It would have taken them, you know, shaving and cutting and all of that, you know, just one man and three boys. So it was a lot of work, you know, 300 cubits, you know, 50 cubits across, 30, you know, it took them years. And watch this, it was not until the main frame of the ark was complete that they could start bringing in the animals. God, where will you put them? Then he had to, then after he finished the building, he had to pitch in and without. It was a lot of, it would, back in those days, yes, it would take 100 and something years. It was a, and there were so many opportunities to stop and give up. You know, when I read the Bible, I like to read it with a sense of reality. That's why you need to, that's what meditation does. When you meditate, it just means to think upon, you know, and put yourself inside the situation as though you were there. Then you begin to see the reality of what the Bible is actually saying. You know, and then you begin to understand what the scriptures mean when it says, you know, who through faith and patience inherited. It took a lot of faith and patience for Noah to do what he did. Can you imagine? You can imagine after the first 5 years, people will say, yeah, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? That time probably they just got a, they would have, probably the first few years, all they just goes was to collect the wood. You'll be wondering, the first few years, just the wood alone. It's after all the wood was now made ready, they start putting the wood together. Then probably, first of all, you know, do the 300 cubits like this. They'll probably do the lower floor. Then they'll do the higher floor. You know, if I, somebody who doesn't have the plan and didn't know what God said, will be looking at it and say, what are you doing? By the time they've worked for 30, 40, 50 years, is enough for them to give up. And say, you know, maybe I ate too much that night when I thought God told me about the ark. You know, those show, you know, and you can imagine people mocking them. You know, people making fun of them. What do you think you're doing? You're just wasting your time. You know, wasting your energy, wasting your strength. You know, 120 years. Is that a short time? It's a very long time. It took faith to continue because it was easier to give up. Especially when there was nothing he could see. There was no rain. There was nothing. But that's why revelation is so important. You have to do what God has put inside your heart. Not what is going on around. Thank God Aaron is not even taking 120 years. Yeah, we have a much easier job today. It's a much easier job. You know, so just like Noah. Always remember when Satan wants to try and discourage you and distract you, remember Abraham. Remember Noah. Abraham, 25 years. It looked as if it was not going to happen. It looked as if it was not going to happen. And to make the thing very difficult, so to speak, in quotes, you know, to make it even that much more impossible, God now restricted the seed in Isaac. That's what Ishmael is not a possibility. So there had to be a supernatural reproduction of Isaac for the nation to come into existence. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So I can imagine Abraham thinking, you know, 75, 80, 80. 82, 83, 80. That was when Sarah called him and said, Look, I know, yeah, God is good. God is good. God is good. But let's be practical. Let's be very realistic here. You know, yeah, 86. I'm 76. There's nothing. Maybe he said, you know, you give your, like, so shall thy seed be. Okay, oh yeah. Let's at least. And they made a big mistake. We're still suffering it up till now. The Arab-Israeli problem came from Sarah's good idea. You know. But the good news is even in spite of that mistake, you know, God's mercy and God's grace, you know, showed up when he was 99 years old. Almost 100. 99, Pastor Buiga. Was 25 years after, and Isaac was just the beginning of the nation. But at least he was sure that now Isaac had been born, there will be a perpetuity, you know, and that's what happened. So for you and I too, you know, even though, you know, everything may not have come to pass in the fullness of which you expected, the olive branches you have seen are a sign and an indication of what God is doing. So the key is, don't give up. Keep rowing that boat. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep stay inside the ark. Keep praying. Hallelujah. So when the Lord suddenly comes, amen, his mercy and grace will take you to the other side. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah.
Roaring amidst the Spirit is moving right here in amidst.
As we pray, the essence of this message is for you not to give up your hope, your faith, to see the witness of the dove, of the olive branches that the dove has brought back to the ark. And so to continue to pray and see God and continue to pray for the nation, to pray for yourself, to perfect the love of God in your personal life. To pray for the nation that the kingdom of God come and the will of God will be done. Talk to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Deep down in my heart, the Spirit is moving
deep
down in my heart as the prophets said he would be.
Yes, Lord.
Deep down in my heart. There is a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the earth.
Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness, blocking my right standing with God, so that the life of God will flow maximally into my spirit to cause my prayers to avail much. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord God, that you have brought to me tonight, encouraging me to continue to look for a new Nigeria. A Nigeria wherein dwelleth righteousness, in which your Holy Spirit, the power of your Holy Spirit prevails in the air and in the atmosphere. And I thank you, Father, for the witnesses of this new Nigeria, the olive branches that have been brought by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, showing us that you are working in our land, showing us that the waters of corruption are gradually receding. Lord God, that the land, the new Nigeria, will soon appear in physical manifestation for all to see. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, this word of encouragement, this word of support, this word of strength. And Father, by your mercy and your grace, I determine in my heart to continue to stay in the ark of the perfection of the love of God, subjecting every carnal nature to the power of the Holy Spirit and transforming them into virtues: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. That when you come suddenly, you will find me awake, standing, watching and praying, that I will shine with your glory in Jesus' name. Dolomangara, Lombrikitusko, Lombrica Matulomoso, Lombrica Tusco, Clomatulomatulomatuf, Dufri Shingara, Lombrica Matulomatulomatuf, Dufrishi, Dufri Deskokno, Tolomatulomatulomatuf, Lombrica Matulomatulomatulomatulomatuf, Shekadofres, Nufridis, Dufrinias, Tolomangaras, Tolomias, Dufridis, Tolomangaras, Tuskufres, Tolomangiras, Dufrinis, Gelengaras, Tufriaras, Tufriengeres, Gelia Ronos, Tufrines, Ziki Tufrines, Nangridolon, Tufrines, Tanga Tuskefrines, Longrela, Tuskefridis, Tulomastakar Tufris. In Jesus' name.